The Health and Sport Committee have just published their report on the supply and demand for medicines. It's a very lengthy and detailed piece of work that covers a lot of ground in an area that perhaps isn't usually very visible to the public. Today I'm joined by the convener of the Health and Sport Committee, Lewis MacDonald, MSP, to discuss the report. Lewis, many thanks for talking to me today.
Pleasure.
As I said there, the report is a big one and it reflects the huge amount of work that has been put into it by the committee. So firstly, can you tell us about the inquiry, what were its aims, and what was the driver that prompted the committee to look at medicines in the first place?
I guess there were a few drivers. Over the last couple of years, we've had health boards in to talk to us about the things they're dealing with. Some of them are talking to us about why they're struggling financially. Others are talking to us about patient care. And something that came up time and again was medicines, either the cost of medicines or else the way in which patients were supported to take medicines or alternatives to medicines, social prescribing, if you like, exercise, fitness and other things that can prevent ill health in the first place. We did an inquiry into social prescribing. Again, the issue came up that while lots of people knew about it, knew about these alternative options, it still very often was the case that the doctor or even the pharmacist would say, well, why don't you take this medicine rather than what else could you do to deal with the issue? And so from a number of different things we did, this came back to us, that medicines, how they were delivered, how effective and efficient they were, what the systems were around them, and how big a chunk of health service costs they represented. Those issues came up time and again. So we also did a big inquiry last year into primary care, into GP services and how they are changing and what alternative methods of delivery of primary care there might be. Again, what would be the role of pharmacists, either working in a GP surgery or the community pharmacy on the corner of the street? And again, we were very clear in that there were unanswered questions around medicine. So we took evidence from all of the above, from health boards, from pharmacists, from health boards, and from the government about the way the system currently works. And we came to the conclusion substantial change was required. So the inquiry didn't simply scratch the surface. We think it's gone pretty deep into some of the issues. We took evidence over five meetings. The last one was just before the lockdown in March. So we've been working on it over the period since then. And we're pretty pleased to have got to the point where we're able to publish now, because we think as the NHS and as the pharmacy profession and everyone else adjusts to life as the lockdown eases, COVID's not gone away, but clearly there are new issues as well as the ones that were there before. But we think it's really important that some of these conclusions that we've drawn are applied to the NHS coming out of lockdown, and not least the conclusions we've drawn around data.
One of the key themes that the inquiry identified was a lack of focus on patients in the system, and that's perhaps quite a surprising finding. Can you tell us what this lack of focus actually looks like?
Well, a number of different things. So we heard about how medicines were assessed and approved. We heard about access to new drugs for patients and how often those systems were pretty slow and cumbersome. We heard, as I mentioned, the quite often a recognition of the value of social prescribing, but not much evidence that that was happening. In other words, while the patient might benefit from a healthier lifestyle and from support to achieve a healthier lifestyle, it's quite often quicker simply to say, well, why don't you take this course of medicine for this number of months? And that ticks the box and gets the patient out of the surgery. Now, you know, that's just the nature of the pressure that GPs feel they're under. But it's not a patient focus. It's not putting the patient right at the centre as the patient should be. And we also heard about pharmacies and hospitals, because most of us, most of the time, our experience of pharmacy is in the shop in the corner or in our GP practice. But actually an awful lot of medicines are dispensed to patients in hospital and also to patients leaving hospital. And many of us were very surprised, not all of us, some of us were aware of this, but many of the committee were surprised at the fact that it might take, for example, 3 hours for a patient who was about to leave hospital to be given a very simple medicine by the hospital pharmacy. Again, because of process. Complex bureaucratic processes, not enough people in the right place at the right time to actually make that happen quickly. So again, that wasn't patient-centered. And then once a patient has their medicine, there's a lot of odd things about that as well. And we were again not convinced that enough time was spent explaining to patients what a medicine would achieve and finding out from the patient afterwards whether it was effective. And we also found as well that medicines, once they'd been prescribed and the patient had taken them away, they couldn't be returned, or if they were, they could be returned, but they would be returned and binned. They couldn't be used again or prescribed again, unless it was a patient going back into hospital. Curiously, the patient might then take their own medicines with them and have them used in hospital. But it just seemed that the system didn't add up and didn't put the patient at the centre. So I think it's clear that there are things that can be done at each of these stages in the process to make the system more efficient, but also more focused on the needs of the patient.
Data collection and IT was also something that the committee highlighted as an area of concern and where improvements could be made. Could you tell us a little bit about what problems the report identified in that area specifically?
Well, you're absolutely right, but to be honest, this isn't the first report we've done where we've got to the end of it and thought, data, where's the data? Because if you don't have the data, how can you make the changes? And we found that, I guess, time and again over recent years. So one of the things that wasn't true when we took evidence was the changes that have happened since then. And it's really interesting because we've done report after report saying we need better data, we need IT systems within the health service that can talk to each other. We need different health professionals to have access to a patient's records on the appropriate basis when they need it in order to help that patient's care. And we need patients to be able to consult online. Now, those things are now happening after years of being told, oh no, it's too difficult, it's too expensive. Because of the coronavirus crisis, a lot of those things have happened in the last few weeks. We want to make sure that those gains are not lost and that we don't go back to a time when the answer was, oh no, that's too difficult. We want actually to have that made a permanent feature of the NHS in Scotland, that you have proper use of technology and also collection of data. Because the other thing about the patient focus in medicines is that you need to know if they work. You need to know what the outcome is. That's really what our data collection thing is really all about. It's why are we not collecting the information we need about individual patients to speed up and improve the care that patient gets, but also about patients as a whole, so that the system can learn lessons and can identify trends within the population as a whole. That should be easier in Scotland than it is almost anywhere. We have 100% NHS care. We have a population of 5 million, which is pretty manageable population in terms of the data it generates, and also a pretty stable population. So we ought to be able to do that, but we're not quite doing it yet. And again, going back to hospitals, there's a hospital electronic prescribing and administration system. Good idea. Put all that online. But each board can do it slightly differently, and they are doing it slightly differently. And most of them are doing it simply as a way of managing their information rather than assessing the outcomes and making change. So we want to see that system. We want the Scottish Government to be absolutely clear with us about who is responsible for making that work properly across the board and how quickly that's going to happen, because we weren't able to get clarity on that in the course of the inquiry. And so we're absolutely focused on improving that exchange of data and that assessment of outcomes. We think if that is done, you can improve patient care, you can reduce waste, and you can make more efficient use of the medicines that the NHS purchases.
Another area of concern was around leadership and oversight, which the report has a lot to say about. What did the committee find when it looked at those issues?
Again, this is not a new issue for the Health and Sport Committee this session. We've had these concerns in other respects when we've looked at the operation of the NHS, that leadership, when it's strong and clear, can be very effective. But too often, we were hearing from witnesses, from the professions, from the NHS itself, who would tell us what the issues were and tell us that they were very keen to see them resolved, but weren't often telling us what they were doing to sort them. And I think for the committee, we hear from ministers and from senior managers and leaders in the health service or in the professions, and we want them to tell us how they're going to, not just what the problems are, but how, what the solutions are too. And so one of the things we've been very keen to say is that we need those people in those responsible positions, the directors of pharmacy and so on, to take a lead in making change and in delivering a more efficient system. We also came to the conclusion, and it's a big issue, and it's not just about medicines, but the way in which general practice is operates in this country is that GPs are independent contractors. They're not integral to the NHS itself. Now, we didn't look at that bigger question, but we looked at how it worked in terms of accountability for public funding and delivering the kind of outcomes and data analysis that we need. And we found that the GP contract doesn't allow government to require GPs to report on the kind of things we need them to report on in order to get the best value for the money spent on medicines. And in order to monitor how effective the prescribing of medicines is for improving the position of patients. So we have recommended that the contract for general medical services, the contract for GPs, needs to be reviewed with that in mind. And we also want to see a change in the way that community pharmacists operate. There are now going to be pharmacists in GP practices more widely. That's a good thing. There are pharmacists on the high street. That's a very valuable resource as well. We would also like to see their contract reflect the value of them collecting information about medicines and about patients, and we want to make sure that all the information they do collect is not just recorded in the pharmacy and then put in the waste paper at the end of the day, but actually added to the system so as to help in the care of that patient.
Finally, where can people read more about the report?
On the Scottish Parliament website, parliament.scot, the report is there. It's got a very full set of recommendations, but there's a neat executive summary for those who are in a hurry. But anyone who wants to look at the issue of medicines in depth can read the whole report online.
Lewis MacDonald, Convener of the Health and Sport Committee, many thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.